Welcome, everyone. This is Russ Galzo, Chronicles of the End Times. Thank you for being with me today. Today, we're going to look at how we can overcome the enemy and get rid of maybe some of our anxiety and some of our worry and some of our fretting over life in general or the things that are going on in the world that affect us, that affect our economy, that affect our health. So how do we combat this? It seems that overwhelming at times. Today we're going to look to the Old Testament. We're going to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and talk about Jehoshaphat. We're going to talk about a great invasion that came upon him and how it was so overwhelming that he knew they had no chance in the natural to win. But they decided to fast and call on the name of the Lord for an answer and for help. So let's check it out. Chapter 20, verse 1. After this, the Moabites and Amorites came to make war on Jehoshaphat. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, "A vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the sea. It is already in En-Gedi." Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in front of the new courtyard and said, "O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. O God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to their descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and they have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, 'If calamity comes upon us, whether the sword or judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in the presence before this temple that bears your name. We will cry out to you in our distress and you will hear us and save us.' But now here are men from Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came in from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you." Isn't that an awesome scripture? At times, aren't we in that kind of desperate mode? And I believe we are in it today. I believe that everything we've been talking about on Chronicles of the End Times and other people are discussing about the wars that are going on, about how those who believe in the Word of God are slowly but surely becoming the enemy of the state, how the country around us is using their power to sift out the people that they don't want, and the groups of people that they believe are in their way to make progress towards a one world government, towards total globalization. So many things that weigh us down, and so many people are fighting depression, and so many of us are up against the wall with finances or maybe physical conditions. This scripture means so much to me, and I believe it's going to mean a whole lot to you as we go forward here. Knowing who the Lord is and the power that he has given us sometimes gets overshadowed by our circumstances. Our circumstances are real. They're not made up. They're not just super spiritual. They're there. They're natural things in life. But what happened here is the same thing that's still happening today. We look at the history of the Ammonites and the Moabites. They're all descendants of Lot, descendants of Esau, those who rebelled, those who would not totally follow the Lord and went on their own way. These are the people that were coming after Israel, God's people. And they had one thing in mind, and that's to destroy them. We can equate a lot of that to what's going on in Israel today in the war that we're seeing going on in the Middle East, especially when we read verse 11. "See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance." Israel's been given that land not by the UN, not by the countries of the world, but by God. It's their inheritance. And we are seeing a revival of all the old kingdoms coming back. That's how it's going to be in the last days. All these old kingdoms coming back into power and fighting against Israel, just like it was in the Old Testament. That's another podcast all on its own. Today, we're going to concentrate on you and I, how we can overcome all these feelings of desperation that come upon us. Let's check it out. Let's see what the Lord said after they prayed and they fasted. We pick it up in verse 15. A descendant of Asaph stands before the assembly and he says this, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all you who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. You will not have to fight the battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. O Judah, Jerusalem, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you." Let's break that down. This is awesome stuff. He tells them to take up their positions and stand firm and see the deliverance of the Lord. What positions? To make sure their swords are sharp and their arrows are sharp and their horses are ready to ride? No. Their position that he told them to take was a position of praise. Because as we worship the Lord, he fights our battles. Because what we're saying when we're worshiping God and we're praising God is we're saying, "I know you have control. I know that you love me. I know that no one could love me more than you. I know that you're with me. I know that you're going to fight this battle and you've never been defeated." That's what we say when we start worshiping God. We may not use those exact words. Maybe we're worshiping in the spirit, but that's the essence of what it is. It's worship and praise. It's the release. We are releasing it to God. And that's a great way to do it. We can say it out loud. "Oh, Lord, I'm giving it to you." And you know, we're all the same. As we walk away, we pick it back up again. But we need to take it another step further. And that's worship. Just begin to thank God and just let it go. Just let the praise and worship go. It's that surrender. It's that complete surrender. We're just saying, "Lord, you got it. We worship you, Lord. We just give you thanks." It's a release. It helps us physically and mentally. And it also blesses the Lord. Let's continue with this story. Jehoshaphat bowed with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. Wow, great stuff. Then some of the Levites and the Kohathites stood up and praised the Lord God of Israel with a very loud voice. Early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, Judah and the people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful." After consulting with the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness. And they went out ahead of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." That's certainly not the way to fight. You're sending out your worship team first. And those with all the armament are in the back because they weren't going to need the armament. They weren't going to need the natural. What they were going to use is the supernatural. And if you go on to read the rest of the chapter, it says that one group fell upon another and destroyed them. And when they were done destroying those, they destroyed each other. And they slaughtered each other till there was no one left. When the men of Judah came to the place that overlooked the desert and looked toward the vast army, they saw only dead bodies laying on the ground. No one escaped. That's powerful. God is able to defeat our enemies. There are so many that we could name. This not only gives us instruction on how we win personally over our fear and anxiety, but it tells us how we can win souls for Jesus Christ, how we can tear down the gates of hell, how we can bust through and take the captives and set them free. Because that is the plunder. That's the spiritual plunder. It says, so Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off their plunder, and they found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing, and also articles of great value, more than they could carry away. It was a supernatural battle that allowed them to take all this treasure. In a spiritual sense, what is the treasure of God? It's people. God could create whole planets of gold or diamonds or rubies or sapphires or platinum, whatever we feel is so valuable. God's treasure is his people. And so if we take this as a spiritual implication as well, once we break down the walls, the barriers that keep people from coming to Christ, then we can go and we can take the treasure. And like Jesus said, we can go and set the captives free. I hope this encourages you today, because worshiping God and praising God sometimes gets left out of the equation. Reading the Word of God and praying is paramount. I call it breathing in and breathing out. But we also need to worship God and thank Him. And in that, there is so much power, because what we're saying is, God, I'm laying it down. It's all yours. I'm thanking you for the victory already. Why? Because his word says he loves us. Jesus told the disciples, and he tells us, that my Father loves you as much as he loves me. Wow. How is that even possible? We must believe it, and we must trust him, that if we're following him, he will be there for us. I pray the Lord will touch you and bless you and strengthen you and allow you to bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. This is Russ Galzo for Chronicles of the End Times. Keep looking up. The King is coming.